Let's pray. Father God, we just come tonight just saying thank you, Lord. Lord, we really love you. We thank you for the victory, Father God. We thank you for traveling mercies, getting us here tonight. We ask for traveling mercies for those that are on their way and those that may not make it here tonight, Father God. We ask that you keep them tonight, Father God. We pray for them, Father God. Lord, we ask that you be in our midst. We already feel your presence, Father God. Continue to touch us tonight, Lord, as we learn about obedience, Father God. Lord, we ask that you hide me behind your cross so that your word can come through as clear as water, Father God. Let me decrease while you increase, Father God. Give me the words to say. Just let me be your vessel. Speak through me tonight, Father God. Take out myelin completely and fill me with your spirit, Father God. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, obedience. And while my daughter's passing out the paper, obedience is one of those things where you really don't want to teach on because you know that sometimes you're not obedient and you are accountable to what you teach and what you preach. Amen. And the Lord deals with you about being obedient, especially if you're teaching it. Amen? Amen? Obedience is one of those things where if you are not obedient, you will lose the blessing that God is trying to give to you. Amen? Amen. By doing things your own way. God sets up rules. Amen? And he says, if you follow these rules, I will give you this. These are promises that God is making to us. If you do it this way, I will give this to you. Amen? Who want things from God? You want things from God. Amen? You want more things from God than you want from other people. Amen? So how do you get things from God? By being obedient to God's word. Let me say it again, because I think I just said something. The way to get things from God is doing what God says do. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense that God will give you things if you don't do what he says do. But if you want something, you do what he says do, and he'll give it to you. How many people in here are parents? Because I always like to liken God and the way he treats us is how we treat our children.
Right.
You want the best for your children.
Yeah.
And if you have all these things stored up for your children, and you tell them, just obey what I say do.
Yeah.
Obey my words. And if you obey it, guess what? All of these things that I have stored up, I'm going to give to you.
Amen.
That seems easy, right? All I got to do is this, and you'll give me that? Oh, I'm going to do it. You understand? I'm not even going to look at my children because there's, you know, I try to get them to obey because it's like so much I got stored up for them, but sometimes they don't, and it's like it hurts me when they disobey when I want to give them everything. I think I said something again. It hurts me when they disobey because I got all this that I want to give them, but I'm not going to give them all this because they don't obey what I say. So it hurts me. Not only is it hurting them because they have no clue what I can give them. They don't even know how much I have. They think they know how much I have. They think that, oh, I see what you have. But there's a hidden, you know, stuff that they can't see. Do y'all understand? That's how God looks at us. It's like, you have no clue what I can give you. But I can't give it to you because you don't obey what I say to you. And because you don't obey it, it hurts. We're hurting God by being disobedient when he wants to give us so much. Amen? So let's look at obedience. The first page. It says, God gives his word not only to increase our knowledge about him, but to change our lives. Only as we apply truth to our lives, obey the scriptures, where will there be any significant change made? Amen? Sorry, getting tongue-tied on that one. Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? What does Lord mean? Anybody? What does Lord mean? Master. Ruler. Amen? Over all. Amen? Why do you say master, master, ruler, ruler, and you don't do what I tell you to do? Meaning that if I call you Lord, you have total control of my life. I give everything I have over to you. So I give it all to you, but I'm not going to let you have this part. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do, but you are my master, you are my Lord. Some definitions that we want to talk about tonight and the next few weeks about obedience. Obedience, the act of obeying, or the state of being obedient. Compliance with that which is required by authority. Subjection to rightful restraint and or control. Look at it in the God's mindset. Compliance with that which is required by authority. Whose authority are we talking about? God's authority. Amen? So we need to be compliant to his authority. Amen? Subjection to rightful restraint or control. So we have to submit. We have to get under his control. Restraint. Now, this restraint isn't a bad restraint, because some restraints are bad and some are good, because this restraint will stop you from doing some things. And this restraint is being controlled by God. Amen? So you want this restraint. You don't want the restraint where the padded room in the straitjacket. You don't want that restraint. Amen? You want God's restraint. But let's obedience. Let's look at obedient. Amen? Obedient. Subject and will or act to authority. So you're subjected to the will or the acts of who's in charge, which is God. You're willing to obey. There's that word. Submissive to restraint, control, or command. Submissive. So that means that you will do what is necessary to do. Does that make sense? Amen. And then let's look at obey. To give ear to execute the commands of, to yield submission to comply with the order of. You need to give an ear to God, amen, to execute the commandments, amen, to yield submission to comply with the order of God, amen. Obedience, obedient, obey. Anyone who wants to know God, to walk closely with him, must obey him. Sounds like a strong statement, doesn't it? But there is no way that we can come into close relationship with the Lord, walk fully in the blessings, and enjoy the communion that our spirit desire without obeying God. We cannot get close to God if we don't obey him. Amen? How can I put this? Y'all know me. If you have a girlfriend, boyfriend, let's even take it further because, you know, we're in the church, a spouse, there's rules set up in order to get closer to that person. Do y'all understand? Okay, no cheating. A little closer. Respecting, a little closer. Amen? Giving in to the needs of that person, a little closer. We're trying to get closer to God. Amen? So you have to obey these rules. Am I making it plain? You understand? To get closer in relationship and communion with God, you have to obey what God tells you to do. Make sense? Let's look at two examples of obedience. And there's plenty of examples in the Bible of people being obedient. But let's look at Enoch. Enoch lived in a close fellowship with God for 300 years. Amen? Imagine spending 300 earthly years in close fellowship with the Lord. Can you imagine that? Man, I mean, just he knows everything about you. And by 300 years, you should know everything about him. Amen. 300 years in close relationship with the God. Obeying his commands, learning his ways, and caring for the things that most concern Enoch. Not Enoch? Oh, him. Meaning God. So let's read it again. Obeying his commands, learning his ways, and caring for the things that most concern God. Not Enoch. That's important to understand. We do care about ourselves, but when it comes to obeying God, it ain't about us. It's about God. Concerning what is important to God. If God says do it, do it. That was Enoch's life. And the result, scripture tells us that Enoch did not experience an earthly death. Instead, he disappeared because God took him. All because of his obedience. Make sense? I mean, can you imagine just I'm teaching, going on, and then boom, I ain't here no more. I'm with the Lord. Wife, kids, children, nobody have to cry about me. You understand? Because you know I didn't just disappear. I didn't come spontaneous combust. Amen. The Lord must have just took me. That's obedience. Amen. Who's the next example? Noah. We all know about Noah. We know Noah's story, right? We're not even going to talk about after the flood and he was drunk. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about obedience because we all have our own problems. Amen? Don't talk about Noah's problems. Let's look at what happened to Noah. Why did God choose Noah? Amen? Noah lived during the dark times. Scriptures tells us that evil had grown in such an extent on the earth that the Lord was sorry he had ever made humanity. Man, I'm gonna put this out here right now. And this is just myling. This is not no deep theological stuff. But I really think God is starting to feel that way now. The way we are going about life now, where anything goes. Let me say it again. Anything goes. Whatever you want, you can have it. And nobody will look at you strange for doing it. Or being it. I truly believe God is at that point where he's saying, I said I was going to wipe them out again, but I'm coming back soon. I ain't going to wipe them out. I'm just going to come back and surprise them. when you least expect it. You don't know the day or the hour, but he will be coming back soon. Amen. Then he said he would wipe, this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing. It was a desolate time, but then the Lord looked and saw Noah. The word noted that Noah found favor with the Lord. Can you truly, 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 truly say that God can look at you and find favor in you? Yes, I love. Who said yes? Amen. Amen. That's good. That is good. That have that confidence that God can find favor in me. I love that. I love that. I'm a little, you know, I don't know, but you know what I mean? Some things I've done and it's like, oh, but having that confidence that, yes, God can find favor in me, have that confidence. I love that. Amen. And then the word notes that Noah found favor with the Lord. Instead of confirming to the wickedness of the civilization around him, Noah upheld morality and goodness. That's finding favor, y'all. The result of Noah's obedience was that he and his entire family was saved from the flood that destroyed every other living thing on earth. That's obedience. That's where we want to be. That's how we want to be. We want to be obedient where God finds favor in us. And if everything else around us is going haywire, we know we're okay. We know we're okay because God found favor in us. Now, God still loved everybody, but he had to wipe them out because they didn't love God enough. He had to start all over. Amen? When we are obedient, we're trusting God to be God. That's what we're doing. Y'all understand that sometimes we know God is God. Amen? But God is not always God this way. On earth with us. He's in heaven. He's God in heaven. But on earth with us, I'll let you lead sometime, God, and then I'm going to lead sometime. Stop hogging up all the leading, God. I need to lead sometime, God. Do y'all understand? I mean, God, I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know, but you don't understand these people on my job. You don't understand these people in church. I know you say turn the other cheek, and all, but God, you don't understand what I'm going through. Yeah, Jesus didn't have to deal with SEPTA. You all understand. Jesus didn't have to deal with PICO. You understand? They had candles back then, but God, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You want me to tithe when PICO is knocking on the door? Come on, God, you don't understand. Let me handle this down here, and you handle this up there. Nah. If you are obedient, God is God on earth, and God is God in heaven. Let God be God. Obeying God means moving aside and allowing God in his word, his Holy Spirit, and his way of operating to move in our lives. That is so important. It says his word, which we should dwell in day out. Amen. His Holy Spirit, which is inside of us. Amen. His way of operating, because his way is way better than our way. Because he created us and he knows what we're going to do and he's telling us how to do it, but we decide not to do it. We need all of that to move in our lives. It means trusting. Trusting is having faith that he will be true to his word. Hebrews 11:6 says this. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith. Amen? See, with faith, it's you will be able to trust God. But if you don't have any faith, that's when you say, I got this, God. You don't understand. You don't know what you're doing. I got this. You get the next one. But with faith, you say, God, I have no clue what I'm up to. I have no clue what I'm doing. I don't know where my next meal is coming from. I don't know where the next, you know, gas in my tank is coming from. Token, food stamp. I don't know where anything is coming from. But guess what? I trust you. I have faith in you. And your word said, if I am obedient, you will provide everything I need. Everything. So guess what? I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm just going to obey. Has anybody ever been there before? Seriously. I know, for me, I've been there where I don't even know where my next meal was going to come from. I've been there. Amen? And that was with kids. Not being single. That was married with children. Not the TV show, but that was my life. Exactly. But that was my life. I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from, but I said, I'm going to obey and I'm going to trust and be faithful. And guess what? I ate the next day. Amen. Come on, y'all. I really love the Lord. He's given me the victory. Amen? It's the small things, not always the big things. I mean, seriously, it's the small things like eating that you have to trust in the Lord. When we obey, we do not try to control our lives and the situation around us, but by our own human strength. Instead, we focus on the Lord by keeping him and his word before our eyes and allowing him to have his way and trusting that he will fulfill his promises. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. We're going to talk about this a little bit, but it says, blessed are those. Blessed. I want this to get into your spirit, because if you obey, you will be blessed. And we're gonna talk about that, but I gotta talk about it now. But it says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in what? Obedience to him. We all get into the thing like we are Christians and we come to church and we are on this ministry and we are that ministry and we go out and feed the homeless and we're good people and this and that. But that's a blessing. But the word says, blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in obedience. See, I can do all of those things. I can even teach Bible study and not be obedient, and I'm not blessed. Amen. Do y'all understand that? It says, blessed are those who fear. It's a good fear, not a bad fear. And walk in obedience. That, it doesn't just say fear. And the other part is walk in obedience. If you fear him, you'll be obedient to him. If you don't fear him, you won't be obedient. Does that make sense? If you don't fear him, you have nothing to worry about. He ain't gonna do nothing to me. I ain't afraid of no God. Seriously, what's God going to do to me? He ain't going to wipe me out tonight. I don't care. Man, y'all, what are y'all doing fearing God? I can do what I want, when I want, how I want to do it, because he ain't going to do nothing to me. Keep thinking that way. No, the way to think is, man, if I don't do what he tell me to do, I have no clue what's going to happen to me. Do you understand? It's like, man, I know. And come, let me put this in here, and please don't take this the wrong way. And I always get in trouble with this stuff, but don't take it the wrong way. I'm not saying that you have to be 100% sinless. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody is perfect but Jesus Christ. Amen? But you need to sin less. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? See, I know sometimes I'm going to sin. I just know it because I've been unsaved so long that some of that residue is still on me that God is chipping away. Do y'all understand? And sometimes I sin and I don't even mean to be sinning. And sometimes I sin and that's a whole other story. But I still fear the Lord. Because there is consequences to the sin. So even if it's in my mindset that, you know, I know this is wrong, I still fear the Lord because the next day or the next hour or the next minute, I'm like, oh my God, what is he going to do to me? I know I shouldn't have done that. I should not have said that. I should not have taken that. I should not have smoked that. What is God going to do to me? I'm looking for something to be taken away because he is good and he is true to his word. And he says that you're not going to make a fool of me. Oh, man. Fear and obedience. Amen. Walk in obedience to him. The Bible often tells us that God blesses and rewards what? Obedience. What? Obedience. What? Obedience. Obedience. Amen? Obedience. Doing the right thing. What's the right thing? The thing that God tells you to do. That's the right thing. Don't do what Marlon tells you to do. Because Marlon might have his own agenda in mind. Do you understand? I mean, you can have people preaching from the pulpit and tell you this is how you're supposed to do, this is how you're supposed to live, and this is that, and this and that. But no, take it with a grain of salt. Go to that Bible, go to that word and say, well, what does God tell me to do? Amen? How should I be obedient to God? Because that's their interpretation, and I hope I'm not getting in trouble, but that's their interpretation. The word is clear. It tells you, you live this way, you get this. You live wrong, you get this. You live right, you get this. Obedience to the Lord is in the Bible. Amen? Is anybody getting help tonight? All right. Why is obedience to God important? Don't look at the paper right now. Somebody tell me why is obedience to God important? Don't all speak at once.
I believe obedience to God is very important because we want our kids to be obedient to us. And I look at it like this. When I got saved and I see how much I love my kids, and I just know that's how much God loved me and even more. So by God pouring his love on me, I'm able to pour my love on my kids. And just like we want our kids to be obedient to us, that's how God is with us. So we want them to follow order. And like you said earlier, when we're obedient and we have stuff for our kids, we want to give it to them. But when they're disobedient, you're like, oh, no, you're not getting that. And that's how I feel about God. Like God may say, you know what, I was going to give you that, but now you're not going to get it for a while. I'm going to make you wait. So by being obedient, you can expect something good to come to you.
Do you know I would probably be a billionaire today if I was obedient to God? A billionaire if I was obedient to God. Not just me, some of you. I'm going to let you talk. But this little pain I got in my wrist and my hands, maybe if I was a little bit more obedient, I wouldn't have this pain. Do y'all, I'm trying to make it plain to you. Do y'all understand?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, I think that why we are obedient to God is because it shows our faith. Because as we say we trust him and believe in him, we know he's never going to guide us wrong. And even though things might look a little crazy and feel a little crazy, God knows what's best. And so if we do what he say, we have the victory. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? I wasn't a trip. I was running.
Good evening, everybody. I think he, with the obedience, is he wants to give you more, but you had to show that you deserve it. So you have to, I can't trust you if you're not obedient. You're not worthy of that.
Real good. That's real good. A faith that's not tested can't be trusted. Amen? I want to make sure you're worthy of it. I want to give you this, but you're acting like that, and I don't think I can trust you with this. That's good. That's real good. Let's look at what the paper says. Why is obedience to God important? Obedience to God proves our love for him. It demonstrates our faithfulness to him. It glorifies him in the world and opens avenues of blessings for us. And I want y'all to look at these scriptures when you get home. But it proves our love to him when we're obedient. Amen? Again, I like to keep it plain. If you are married, if you're in a relationship, if you are obedient, you keep in your word, it proves that you what? Love that person. Amen? Demonstrates our faithfulness to him. Meaning that I know God, you got it all in control. I'm faithful to you and your word, God. So if I'm faithful, that means I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Amen? This demonstrates our faithfulness to him. I'm faithful to God. Amen? It glorifies him in the world. What does that mean? Well, not me, so don't be looking at me funny, but, you know, some people. I don't watch porn anymore with my buddies. We don't get together and go to the go-go bar anymore. Amen? We don't have bachelor parties anymore. Amen? Because I'm obedient to his word. And because I decline some of your invitations, I'm proving to the world, to you, that I'm a changed man. Amen. So I'm obedient to his word by not doing the things that I used to do. Does that make sense? You know, I do drink a little, manischewitz every now and then. Amen? But I'm not drunk on the corner like I used to be. Do you understand? I'm not high like I used to be. I don't steal anymore. I don't do whatever anymore because I'm demonstrating my obedience to his word and to his commandments. So I'm showing the world that I'm faithful and obedient to God. We're not taping this, are we? Scratch that man and shove his part out.
No, I was listening about why it's obedient to God important. You know, I was thinking about why being obedient to God is important. I think it's also the word proud comes to mind. You know, it's like, And we're talking about children. Mm-hmm. You know, when our children do what we say, you know, we feel proud, you know? And so I just wanted to bring that I think God, I think it makes them proud when we're obedient.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Good word. You want to be proud of your kids. Amen? But you make God proud when you obey him. Good word, because I know when, you know, my kids get honor roll and all of that, I'm a proud dad. You know what I mean? I'm a proud dad because they did what they were supposed to do. Good word. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, this is good. When we obey the Lord, we can live our life of joy without shame, rooted deeply in the Lord and confident in our eternal hope. I'm sorry. That's a good word right there. When we obey the Lord, we can live a life of joy without shame. Without shame. Without God, there's a lot to be ashamed of. There's a lot to be ashamed of. How you living, how you're operating, where you live, where you go, who you hang out with. But with God, no shame at all. No shame. Because you don't go to those same places. You don't hang out with those same people. You are different. And you can live a life of joy. And y'all know the cliche, you know, pink slips giving out, you have joy, you know. But it's true. It's like I don't have to worry what's coming next. Because if God took away the hamburger, he's going to give me steak. So even if I get a new job and if it doesn't pay as much as the old one, I got a job. He's providing for me. Mm-mm-mm. So it's the joy without shame, rooted deeply in the Lord and confident in our eternal hope. All right, let's hurry this up. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
Freedom to be who you want to be in God. And more importantly, freedom to be who God called you to be. Our obedience is actually part of our assurance that we truly know God. That's another good word. We truly know God because we're going to do what God says do. Now, if you don't truly know God, you're going to just be running crazy doing what you want to do. But obedience is actually a part of assurance, knowing that I really know God. We obey his commands not because we have to. Why? Because we want to. We want to please God. We want to make him proud. We want to make them happy. Amen? We want God to say, that's my child. Oh, yeah. You know, we want God to take out his camera and be like, snap, snap, taking a picture. Yeah, that's Mylon. Yes, that's my child right there. Amen? You know, and I love all my children the same, but I'm proud of him today. He got the victory today. He didn't get tripped up today. And I don't know why God is telling me to say this, but it's those little victories that add up. Every day can be a victory. Why do you think that, you know, the people that are recovering, I'm 90 days clean. I'm 91 days clean. I'm 92 days clean. Why? Because it's those little victories that add up. Amen? So count your blessings and count those little victories. Don't wait for something big to happen. Count them every day, those little blessings. Amen? All right. Where are your business? We are able to obey because once we believe in Christ and are saved, we are remade. We are not the same people that we once were. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen? Yeah. Old things are gone, new things have come. All things have passed away. All things. And here's what I love about this that I think a lot of people miss. And new babes in Christ really need to hear this. He says, if anyone. It's the anyone that we miss out on. That means that everyone. Everyone that's in Christ. Amen. It's not like, oh, well, you really was a sinner. I don't know if you've changed yet. Even though if you accepted Christ, I don't know if you changed yet. But it says, if anyone is in Christ, I love that, anyone. Because I don't know about y'all, but I do a lot of things. And when it said anyone, it was me, yes. Yes, I am a new creation. I'm new. All things are gone. All things become new in my life. When we are obedient, we will be blessed. God promised that if we will obey him, blessings will follow. Verses that show the connection between God's blessings and obedience. There's a lot of verses, guys, but I just chose these. Amen. Isaiah 1:19. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to what? And I don't know why I kept talking about eating tonight, but it's right there in the verse, right? It's right there. If you obey me, you won't go hungry. What he's saying is that if you obey me, whatever you need, you're going to have. Not just eating, whatever you need. I got you. John 14:21. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I, Jesus, will love them and reveal myself to each of them. All you have to do is obey, and Jesus will show up in your life, and you will have no doubt that's God. No doubt. Because only Jesus, God, can do the things that he can do. You've heard it before. Open up doors that people have shut. Shut doors that people have opened. Amen. Open up doors that nobody can open. Only God can do that. While God loves and shows his favor to all his children, Scripture is clear that there is an inheritance blessing that comes as a result of what?
Obedience.
Psalms 128:1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord and walk in obedience to him. Amen? All right, we're winding up now. 4 minutes and we're out of here. God's love for us is clear from the sacrifice of his arranged through Christ, Jesus Christ, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, he drew us to him and adopted us into his family. We cannot lose his love, but God is not a tyrant. He does not force his will on us. He always gives us a choice of whether to follow him or not. If we follow him, then we receive the privilege of the blessing. If we choose not to follow him, to walk in disobedience, then we walk outside of that blessing. It's our choice, one he has given to all his children throughout history. Come now, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. Eat again. You'll have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. Here's what I love about that. He says, I don't care how bad you were. I don't care what you've done. Your sin is as red as scarlet, as red as crimson. It does not matter. Because once you accept me, again, I change all of that. Amen? He says, red becomes white. All I want you to do is obey me. That's all I want you to do. Accept me and then obey me. All of your sins, all of that stuff will be wiped away. And guess what? You will eat. Just obey me. He says, all I want you to do is obey me. And that's what we want as parents. Children, they're not looking. That's all we want as parents. Just obey us. Amen? Hey, well, don't God poke us? Come on now. All I want you to do is obey me, God says. Let's finish it up. Disobedience. The definition of disobedience is neglecting or refusing to obey, omitting to do what is commanded of, what's commanded, or doing what is prohibited. Oh, we've all been there. Don't do this. Mylon, don't do it. And we do it anyway. Refactor, not observant of duty or rules prescribed by authority or God, amen, applied to persons or acts. Disobedience is the opposite of obedient. If you're not obeying God, you're doing what? Plain and simple. Can't make it no plainer than that. If God tells you don't do it and you do it, what are you doing? Disobeying. If God says do it and you don't, this is a big one. If God says do it and you don't do it, what are you doing? Y'all ever hear that little voice in your head says, you know, give him that cheesesteak that you just bought. Just give it to him. Give it to him. I don't know why I'm talking about food so much tonight. But just think about it. He says, give him to him. Give it to him. And you ignore that may have been God telling you to do something and you were disobedient. That little voice is not always your subconscious. That little voice is sometimes God saying, do something. And you're saying it's crazy. No. But when you do it, the blessings come. Listen to that voice, because that voice may be God and not that crazy part of you. Amen? We may choose to disobey the Lord by rebelling against him and his word. This is caused when we turn our backs on the word, follow our own ways, and knowingly sin. However, not all obedience is active. Some is passive. Not all disobedience is active. Some is passive. Passive disobedience is much subtler. It may be allowing old ways of thinking, worldly carnal thinking, or religious mindsets to seep into our thinking instead of basing our thoughts on God's word. We've all been there. Disobedience can even include holding on to misinformation or remaining ignorant of the things of God. This is why we're in Bible study tonight, y'all. Sunday is good. We get our praise on. But on Wednesday is where we come to learn more about God. Because we don't want to have that passive disobedience, not knowing that we don't know. Make sense? And I'm hurrying up. The moment you settle for less than what you want is the moment you get more than what you bargained for. The moment you settle for less, meaning God says that I'm going to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you if you just obey. And you say, no, thank you. I'm good. You're settling for less, and you're going to get more of the problems, more of the headache, more of the same that you already are getting when you disobey God. God says, you obey, I'm going to bless you. He said, nah, I'm good. Give it to Mylon. Thank you. The moment you settle for less by disobeying God, then what you want is the moment you get more than you bargained for. Y'all understand when you disobey God, you go down a slippery slope that sometimes it's hard to get back from. What's the saying? Sin can take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay. Amen. You don't want to be there. You want to get all you can get from God. This is how it is with disobeying God. Once you settle for not going his way, we get less than we imagine and more than we ever wanted on the negative side. Sometimes we can commit the sin of partial obedience, meaning sometimes I'm going to do it your way, but I'm still going to have my hand in it. I'm not going to do it totally your way, but I'm going to do it partially your way. That's still a sin. That's not being obedient. Amen? When we haven't completely given up what God told us to give up, but we're still holding on to it because we want it for a backup plan, just in case he doesn't come through. Whether we are only sinning partially or all the way, we won't experience the peace that is ours in Christ unless we fully obey. And I'm done. In business, we were always told to have a plan B, a backup plan. You understand? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You understand? You always have to have a plan B. Well, when we got saved, we took that same attitude. We have to have a plan B. Just in case what God says he's going to do, he don't do it, I got a backup plan. I'm going to do it Mylon's way. Get rid of that plan B. Get rid of that plan B, because that plan B is sin. Amen? You have to follow God's way of doing it. Obedience. Obey God. If you do it his way, you're not sinning. But if you partially do it his way, it's sin. All right, you told me to stop doing this, God. I know you told me to stop smoking, but I don't smoke on Sundays. I'm okay. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You told me to give up chocolate. I only do one candy bar a month. You are weaning me off of it, God. We make up excuses. If God say don't do it, guess what? Don't do it. If God said do it, guess what? Do it. And if you do what God says do, and if you're obedient to God, God will bless you. Amen? Amen. Thank you, guys. Did we learn anything? You learn anything? All right, great. Before we close out, we don't want to make the mistake that everybody here is saved. We don't want to make the mistake that you have been obedient to God. We don't want to make the mistake that you are living this obedient life to God and you're really not. You're just sitting here coming to church Sunday and Wednesdays and Sunday and Wednesday, but you truly haven't given your life over to God. That may be you. Don't be ashamed about it. Do not be ashamed. You know why? Because you can get it right tonight. And nobody will talk about you. We will all celebrate you. Can you imagine going to a place where you know you're doing wrong and you admit you're doing wrong and people celebrate you for that? That's church. Man, you can't go nowhere and people are going to celebrate you for that. But in church. So if there's anyone in here that don't know the Lord and the pardon of their sins, just raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. And we will, thank you, brother. We will pray with you. We will pray with you. Amen. There's one person. Who else? Come on, y'all. It might be somebody else that's coming to church and coming to church and coming to church and don't know the Lord. Fully don't know the Lord. If that's you, raise your hand, because we're going to pray with you like we're going to pray with this brother. Anyone else? Great. Thank you, man. We're going to pray with you right after this. Amen? Let's celebrate him now. Come on, y'all. Celebrate that man. That was the most important decision he made in his life. That was the most important decision he made in his life. And now the blessings are going to start coming your way. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you for your word tonight, Father God. Thank you for obedience tonight, Father God. Thank you for letting us be obedient to even come out in the rain to hear about obedience, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for being in our lives, Lord. We thank you for teaching us how to walk, how to talk, how to just do everything in you, Father God. And Lord, if we're not doing all that we should be doing in you, we ask that you forgive us. Forgive us for everything that we've done, said, thought of, Lord. Even the things we haven't thought of, Lord. Forgive us for those, Father God, that we've sinned against you, Lord. Lord, you're a loving God, and we just thank you for loving us. Even when we didn't know how to love you, you've been faithful when we've been faithless. But now, Lord, because of this lesson tonight, we're going to be more obedient to you, Father God. We're going to walk more in your light, Father God. We're going to do more that you tell us to do, Father God. And you're going to continue to teach us your word. We love you. Now we ask for traveling mercies as we leave this place, but never your presence. Go with us. Meet us back at home, Father God, where your spirit is. Let it be a sweet spirit when we walk in that door, Father God. And when we walk in that door, if there's anyone in that house that's not saved, let them just get the aroma of our salvation on them, Father God. And they'll get saved one day, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the gentleman that is giving his life over to you tonight, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that he wasn't ashamed to say he needs you. We thank you, Lord, for always showing up and showing out. You're a good God. You're good to us always. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving always. Amen. Amen.